Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio's The Coco Express Show for Saturday, August 28, 2010. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and yes, we are live. Today's show is all about a man and his music. We've titled this show, Timmy Allen, The Music Behind the Man. Now, we all know what happens to a vocalist when he or she leaves a group. They start a solo career and we see them over and over and over again. However, what happens to the members of a group or a band? That's a mystery. That remains a mystery to most of us. That is until now. Our guest today is none other than Timmy Allen. Timmy Allen is a native of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, a former member of the R&B group Change. Just in case your mind is not up to speed with that, here's a little background information. Change is an Italian-American disco R&B group from Bologna, Italy. Change was formed in 1979 by a businessman and executive producer, Jacques Petris, and Mauro Malvasi. Change was heavily influenced by the legendary disco group Chic. The group had its reign on the R&B charts from 1979 to 1986, and it was dissolved in 1987 after the death of Mr. Petris. Former members of the group are Luther Vandross, Jocelyn Brown, Timmy Allen, Diva Gray, Deborah Cooper, James Robinson, Michael Campbell, Vince Henry, Jeff Bova, Nathaniel Hardy Jr., Rick Galway, Rick Brennan, Andy Schwartz, and Toby Johnson. Just in case you're still not familiar, well, some of what I'm going to tell you now should bring it home for you, okay? Here are some of the hits that you have heard and still enjoy. Glow of Love, A Lover's Holiday, Searching, Paradise, Hold Tight, Heaven of My Life, and Change of Heart. Although Change is an important part of Timmy Allen's career and history, it's not all he's done. Let me take a minute, and let's sit back and get to know Timmy Allen a little better. He's a self-taught bassist who attended Benjamin Franklin High School in Philadelphia, and that's only the beginning. He's also a songwriter, producer, multi-instrumentalist, arranger, and family man. Now, let's dive into the pool of his work. I'm going to lay a foundation for the discussion. You know, it would be really difficult for me to try to lay a foundation for discussion on a topic for which there's just so much information. So you know what? I'm just going to list his work, and then I'm going to let Timmy Allen tell you himself all about his work and what he's done. But there's one thing I would like to say before I begin listing his work. He is so relaxed, and he is such a calm presence, you know, and doing the getting the information together for this particular show. I swear this man has got energizer batteries plugged into him somewhere. So here we go. He is known by many as the bass player for the New York group Kinky Fox, which included Johnny Kemp's Just Got Paid. He co-produced Stephanie Mills' You're Putting a Rush on Me. He's associated with the Backstreet Boys, Glenn Jones, Freddie Jackson, Britney Spears, and Chris Brown, just to name a few. Now, there's more, okay? The Wood movie soundtrack, R. Kelly's Born in the 90s and 12th Play, ABC TV's Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack, Jonathan Butler, The Best of Jonathan Butler and Breaking Away, Mark Darcy, Aaliyah, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, Imagine, Samantha Fox, Greatest Hits, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Tom Jones, Move Closer, Michael Bolton, The Hunger, the tribute to Rosa Parks, Baby Doc School Day soundtrack, and there's more. But I need not go on anymore. Please allow me to introduce to you none other than Timmy Allen.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Rilla. How you doing?
I'm good. Good
afternoon. Everything's good.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I must tell you, I would like to thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I want everybody to know this is my very first one, and it's with you.
I'm honored. Thank you. I'm also
yeah.
out of breath because, you know, just doing this intro,
So you might have broke some of that down a little bit, but I know it's a lot.
Well, it is a lot, and it is worth letting people know that, you know, that's not all there is to you as well. So I just named, like, let's say 40% of it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's so much more. And what I'm going to do is, as we talk, I guess I'm going to bring up some of your other work and put it up in the background, background music, so people can hear, you know, just in case they're still not familiar and they really need to know that. Not only, you know, do you get to see the artist performing the music, but, you know, it's really good and it's really great to get to see the person behind the creation of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is the part that we never really get to see or hear about at all. So
yeah.
I'm just going to pull up one of yours. It's called Body Calling, and I'm sure everybody will know who it is. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so that's none other than R. Kelly, correct?
Yes, right.
Yeah. So I want to know, where did you get your musical training?
My musical training, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Turn the music down just a little bit, really.
Okay, you know what?
I can't hear you that well.
Okay, I'm going to shut it down and everything, so that was your... Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you said my musical training...
Yes, your musical training.
My musical training came from, I would say, my grandmother. My grandmother, we had a big family, a large family in Philadelphia. She had 8 girls and 2 boys. So as you can imagine, growing up in a house, you know, that large with so many girls, it was always music and a party and fun. And my grandmother also played the organ in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But just growing up in that environment just helped me, I guess, to fine-tune whatever God gave the talent he gave me with my ears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just grew to love music and just stuck with it from such a young age. I mean, I knew how to put records on a turntable without even reading.
Oh, really?
That's my mother tell me. I knew how to put records on the turntable without reading. And she would say, Timmy, go put on Osley Brothers or such and such. And I'll put it on the right side and the right record. But I guess that was that talent, you know, coming
mm-hmm.
through. And that just through the years, as I got older, I decided I wanted to sing. I used to sing, and then I decided I wanted to be a bass player. So I learned how to play the bass, and that bass carried me, you know, all the way to, you know, through my career.
Uh-huh.
I really give it all to my bass guitar at that time.
Well, and you taught yourself how to play the bass.
I taught myself. I never took lessons. I just sat down every day and tried to learn every song that I heard. And for some reason, my talent or my ear was always trained to the bass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some reason, I heard that instrument out of the music more than anything else. And that's what it did, you know. And so I mm-hmm. stuck with it there.
Great. I know just got paid. That's you, right?
That's Johnny Kemp. You talking about?
I know singing, but the bass player is you, correct?
Yeah, just got paid.
Yeah, I'm like that. I love that song anyway. And as you know, it's still happening now. It's still being played now, and everyone still loves it. I mean, my daughter, she's 20. She sings it, so you know it is a timeless piece of music. So, and that's the beauty
yeah.
of it too.
Right
now. Okay, I gave a brief, some brief information about the group Change, and it's out of
mm-hmm.
Bologna, Italy. How did you get involved in Change?
Okay, you was correct about all that information. You know, those guys being from Italy and
mm-hmm.
Bologna, Italy, and Jacques Fred Petro, Maru Marvazzi,
okay,
Davide Rapani were mm-hmm. the original members of that group, and then started it. But it started out as a project. You know, coming from Fred Petros from Italy, but they used people like Luther Vandross and a few other the names I can't remember, Gordon, I forgot his name. But anyway, they were background singers pretty much in the New York scene. But Fred, I guess he picked Luther as the lead singer on these projects. And once they did the project and it got out there, it blew up.
Mm-hmm.
So they formed a band. It blew up so big, the record company wanted a band. But Luther, I guess, was doing his own thing, you know, and he wanted to do his own record. So they start picking guys to form a band and plus preparing for the next album because Luther wasn't going to do the next album as well. So that first album, they toured for a while. Then something happened with the bass player. And one of the friends, Vincent Henry, called me and asked me to join the group. And there it is. From there, that's when things happened for me with Change. And I became not only the bass player, I started writing and producing for the group. Pretty much one of the only members that, you know, did that much and went that far with the group.
Oh, okay. Oh, so a lot of the songs that you guys did were partly due to your creative talents as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
The latter part of the project, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because David Ramani and Maru Radavazi, they produced for 2 to 3 albums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I start joining the production, you know, around the third album.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis came in too, and we all, you know, finished the Change situation out.
Okay, great. Now, while you were with Change, you were also writing, producing for other groups and other people as well?
Yeah, I had a few songs out at that time with a group called, with an artist named Lilo Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 3 number one songs, 3 top 10 songs with him. And he was under the guidance of Paul Lawrence at that time, who was affiliated with Hush Productions and Capitol Records. But he enjoyed my bass player, me to play on a couple of records. And I played on Rock Me Tonight, and from there our relation started. And he asked me to do some other things, and I started writing. And the collaboration started there.
Oh, great. And you are, let's see, I know I listed them, and I know I didn't get them all, but I know I listed a few. Putting a Rush on Me?
Yeah, that's me and Paul Lawrence. We wrote and produced that song together.
Okay, with Stephanie Mills. And
that's the number one song as well.
Yeah, and like I said, it's still being played today. And I have to say that the music that you did produce and give us is music that is timeless, and it still can be enjoyed. Now, let this be a segue into our discussion on the music industry. Now,
okay.
You've been in the industry for a while now, and my question to you is, what would you say the difference is between then and now if you compare the 80s and 90s to today?
Oh, well, for me personally, I always say that, you know, the music back in the 80s and 90s, I mean, the quality of the music, I would say, was much better. I would think there was more thought into the lyrical content, and there was much more musicianship going on than today. It's not like that. I mean, we have some artists that bring out really good music, but most of it today is, I wouldn't call it quality music, you know, that I grew up on, you know. As far as that part of it, now the industry part of it, that part has changed somewhat too, from the fact that it's very difficult now to get a record deal, and you have to go through so many procedures and through so many people sometime just to get something started. Back in the day, if you were talented, they were interested in you, and you can get a deal. And not only that, they would help you and develop you. Today, it's not that, you know, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference for me that, you know, I don't like about it, you know, what makes it difficult, you know.
Okay, now, when you say that today, back in the day, they would kind of like work with you, and mold you in talent and train you and groom you. So basically you're saying that they would find someone that they see who has the potential, and they would kind of put them to the side and train them and teach them before they let them go out?
Yeah, or actually put them with experienced people to guide them. I mean, if they're vocal, they can sing, you don't sing well enough to make a great record. Okay, you help that person out vocally. Either you go to vocal training or you put him with a very good producer who can guide him through a great vocal. And as that relationship builds, you know, that's how artists grows and get better and better and better. By his second, third album, you know, you'd be like, wow, he's really developed. You know, and not only that, the artistry part of him, his look, image, you know, if he can dance, all these things is important, you know, even down to the character, you know, and morals. You know, you would train certain things to do and how to do them to, you know, to consider yourself, to, you know, a star.
Mm-hmm.
And those, they are not treated like that no more. They're not treated like that. I mean, I think that, you know, I think the only last one that I can think of that's really trained like that and that's a star, I would say Usher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's come from that type of background where he was found and he was developed for a while. And I think Diddy did it. You know, I would say had the hands of that in the very beginning. But as you can, if you go back to Usher days to now, you'll see the involvement, how he really, you know, evolved and grew and became the star that he is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between the artistry part of it, you know. So we got to go back to those days.
Oh, I do agree with you on that, because if we look at the stuff that's being produced and put out there nowadays, mm-hmm. it's sending all the wrong messages. And
that's right.
A lot of our youth are picking it up, and it's, you know, we all know that it's not real. And
right.
they don't believe that. They don't know that, and they don't think that. So they think it's...
See, that's the point. That's right. That's the point. They don't know that. They think that this quality of music we're doing today... is that top standard, but
mm-hmm.
it's not. No, we know that, you know, the older folks and the older producers, we know what the quality music is. The quality music came from the Motowns and from the Philly International guys. Those are great lyric, melody, musicianship songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing like that today. That's bad for our children.
Yeah, most definitely. And the thing that I find... Well, you would understand it better than I would, because I am a consumer as opposed to a producer, arranger, writer. And I can't understand how they can put stuff out like that. That really is damaging to the mindset of people, especially young adults, or it really doesn't matter. They're just looking at the dollar benefit or the bottom dollar.
Return, looking at the return, that's right. And then that's sad. I mean, because, you know, we don't have to blame it on the artist so much. It's with our record executives, record companies, and then on top of that, the radio stations. They hear these things before they get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before a record is put out, I guarantee you the CEO or whoever of the record company will hear that project, and then on top of that, the radio will hear it. Now, if they let these things go through, that's on them. You know, and I feel like that's where it needs to be fixed at, you know. If
mm-hmm.
you're going to do any controlling far as and upgrading our quality of music, you know, and bringing musicianship back, you know, you have so many musicians out here that are great musicians. They can't work no more because we got technology. It's taking it away.
Okay. And, you know, in regards to that, many people talk about the music today has no originality and it's all manufactured. And what do you think about that? You know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I remember the day when they had real bands, you know, like orchestras
right.
on stage. You know, what happened
yeah.
to those days?
Yeah. All I can do is blame it on technology once again. Blame
mm-hmm.
it on technology. You know, they allowed, you know, people that really can't play instruments or even sing a note to learn how to use these things and get away with it. You know, and you're right about, but you know what? Back to the orchestras and the big bands, you notice all the big shows have them, say, like the Grammys and
mm-hmm.
all them type of shows.
Yeah.
They have the bands, you know. So I guess because they can afford it as well, because there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But
so, I mean, if we had the opportunity and if we had the ability, do you believe that we would be able to put out quality hits like we put out in the past?
Yes, of course we can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of great writers out here.
I'm just, well, where do they go and what happens? I mean, how do you get to these great artists, these writers, and let them have a place or a vehicle to be able to showcase their work? And if you know, and stuff, because if you notice the beat, the same beat is everywhere you, mm-hmm. you listen, and
everywhere.
And if you turn, it's the same beat, and it's like, okay, can they find something else, or can they create something else? It's as if they don't know how to create something different and unique.
Different, right? Everybody's a followers, you know. They're not being innovative enough, but you know, man, that's horrible when you think about it like that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back to the record companies, you know, and the A&R people. If we're hiring A&R people to just caught up into hip-hop and rap, mm-hmm. they don't know anything about an R&B singer or a pop singer coming across the table that could be great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we have to fix it at, is inside those record companies. It ain't even radio, because the radio is going to play pretty much what the record company, you know, give them. Or tell them to do. I mean, that's how I feel. But mm-hmm. it starts with these record executives, you know. And you're right, it's all about that dollar, because we're chasing just one sound. And if you want to say hip-hop, because that's mm-hmm. making money, everybody else is getting cut out. You know, so the only place we can do, only thing we can do is just try to have people like myself and other executives who truly love, you know, all kinds. I love all kinds of music, you mm-hmm. know, but I would definitely say I'm more of an R&B pop mm-hmm. soul type of guy, but I can understand the other music that's going on. But we just need to, I don't know, I mean, hire the proper people in these areas. I mean, you hire a person that does hip-hop, you hire a person that does R&B, but these mm-hmm. people got to be good at what they do. And if you just hire them because of this and that, and they bought in an act, because, you know, and they became a hit and you get a job, it shouldn't work like that all the time. You got to mm-hmm. go by the track records. It's like looking at my track record. Do you think I would be a good executive by looking at my track record? It would show that I've done all kinds of music. I've had success in all kinds of music. So that's the type of person you would hire. So I'm just saying that to say that that's where it starts at, you know, mm-hmm. in the record companies in their ears, you know.
Well, I know just based on, you know, the information that I was able to find while doing my research, I was thoroughly blown away and impressed. I mean, I've heard the majority of the work that you've done, and I have to say that it's unique in itself. Like, for instance, we're going to pull up this other song that you are responsible for, and that's Glenn Jones. So we're just going to, you know, a couple of seconds of it mm-hmm. so our listeners can hear it.
Okay.
Okay, now, I love that one. Let me just stop it. Okay, I really, really enjoy that song. And you know, it, just listening to it, it does have something different. It does have something unique, and it is similar to a sound that Usher has put out as well. And, you know, the interesting part about it is, you know, you can hear everything in the music, every instrument, you can actually hear it. A lot of times when I listen to some of the songs out now, you can hear something. You can't hear, you know, you can't hear every instrument. It's like, oh, okay, there are other instruments there other than, you know. Yeah, it's just, how can I put it? The decibel factor, that's what I call it. Everything has to be so god-awful loud.
I remember that song. That song is like really the start of my whole career, I think, because that's my biggest song today. You know, they still play that song after 22 years. I mean, you're going to hear that song today and somewhere in the country, you know. So I remember that song, how it all got started. I remember when I first got signed to Jive, and I spoke with Clive Calder, who was the CEO and owner of the company. I'm on the phone. And he asked me at the time, what artists do I really like and would like to produce and work with? So I mentioned a couple of artists. I mentioned Howard Hewitt at that time was one of my favorites because I loved him back then with Shalamar and the things he did back then. And Glenn Jones was my second. So about two weeks later, he had a meeting with me. He said, "Timmy, I just signed a new artist." I said, "Who?" He said, "Glenn Jones." I said, "That's wild." But it just shows that he was really paying attention to what we were talking about and service to me with the artist, you know, to help me out my career. And, and sure enough, when I came up, and then how I came up with that song, I knew I had to come up with a hit with him. You know, I just put my foot in my mouth and told him I want Glenn Jones, and now we got him. So I got to come up with a hit. So I thought about a big song. I thought about a big song, and I took a hook from a big song, and I took the "We've Only Just Begun." And then I just flipped it. I kept the words, but I flipped it my way into something else. So I was walking around for about a week with just the hook in my head. "We only just begun." By that time, I worked on the track as well. And then when I finally got to meet Glenn, I already had most of the song halfway written. Then we got together and finished it up together. And then when I finished producing it, back to you saying about the quality of music and you hearing every instrument, I remember Clive saying to me, "Tim, this track is so high." Back then it was high fidelity, so hi-fi. You know, back in the day we called it things hi-fi because you had the quality stereo sound. And he said, "It's so hi-fi." And that's the same thing that you mean, that you can hear everything and the quality of it is good, you know. And I, you know, that's how I produce. I like to produce with quality things, you know, music-wise. And as you can hear the lyrics, you know, meaningful lyrics and melodies that you can remember.
Yes, it tells a story. And that's something, that's something that we don't have right now. A lot of these songs don't tell a story. And you can create a visual image. And I think that's what makes some of the music timeless, because of the fact that you create a visual image when you listen to this particular song or this record when it's played. And that, I have to commend you, because that comes from the person who produced it and wrote it and has talent right there. And that's genius, to be honest with you, to be able to do all of that and put out a product that is able and to do all of that over and over and over again.
Yes,
and I thank you.
A long time.
Thank you. Now, okay, you also, you know, we're talking about your career and time span, and you said that you love all different kinds of music. And you've been involved with, you had something to do briefly with Chris Brown, correct?
Yeah. I got Chris, actually, I would say I developed him and groomed him for a couple of years, and then got him signed to Jive.
Okay. And that's very interesting, because, you know, a lot of people think because you come from the R&B era, not in the 80s and 90s, that your mind is just stuck in that era and you can't seem to move past it. But Chris Brown is he's an excellent talent, and everyone today really, really loves him. And I also saw where you worked with Britney Spears as well, and you did something with the Backstreet Boys also, correct?
Yeah, I worked with the Backstreet Boys. Actually, I was one of the first producers to work with them once they got over Jive. You know, we at that time, you know, my position had moved up a little bit on A&R team.
Mm-hmm.
So because Clyde really, you know, he trusted my ears. He liked my ears. And he would always put me on things you would consider to be R&B and soulful and, you know, things like that. So Backstreet Boys being popish, he didn't want it to be too pop, especially not in the very beginning. He wanted to display that display that these kids can really sing.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent me out to Florida to look at him, me and a couple of other A&Rs. And I looked at him. They did a little show for us, but I heard what could be done with him right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I went back and told Clive, yeah, I can do a record with them. You know, they're getting up to do a record. So, you know, he put us in the studio with him. I went to Florida and worked with them on a couple of songs and came back with a couple of nice songs. And then now they started sending the group through the producers, which producers tour, you know, start sending them out, let other producers hear their work and start building up the album. But in the meantime, I was still working on some things with them. So I worked on the Backstreet Boys for three albums. You know, when the first big song they had that I did with them was I'll Never Break Your Heart.
Okay, and we have that one. And let's let folks hear that one. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Baby, I know you're hurting. Right now you feel like you can never love again. Now all I ask is for a chance to prove that I love you. From the first day,
I didn't write this particular song.
Okay.
I produced it now. Produced it with another producer from Florida named Vite Wren. We teamed up together on this song. Now, this song was written by a great writer named Eugene Wild. I don't know if you ever remember Eugene Wild.
No, he doesn't ring a bell at the
I'm trying to think of another song, a hit song he had back in the day because he was a singer as well. But this song here, he sang the demo on this song, and he tore this song up.
Really?
So I had to figure out how in the world am I going to get this song to come off, you know,
mm-hmm.
pretty good or great for the Backstreet Boys, you know, mm-hmm. like Eugene Wilde sang it. So this song here, I'm going to tell you, was the hardest song in my life to get done and record. Because
really?
Of, you know, yeah, because so Eugene Wilde, he sang it so soulful and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way I could get them boys to sing that way. But they did a great job anyway from what we put together. But it just took a little work, a little time.
Yeah, because you had to break it up into pieces, so to speak.
Exactly. I had to, you see, I have three different vocalists singing on this
mm-hmm.
song. So I had to break that down and organize who's going to sing what, as well as the melody and how they're going to sing it. Because a lot of them, they can't sing like Eugene Wilde. But, you know, it was a job and tedious work trying to just put it together to make it come out like it did.
Well, it's excellent. It really is excellent, I have to admit. It's a great song as well. And
yeah.
I guess I could keep saying it over and over again because I even saw the video of you and the group Change, and I got a chuckle because I got to see everything. And that was the only video I could find.
What video you saw?
It was a video, you were in Europe. I wrote it down somewhere. And
okay.
Yeah, and it was on YouTube. And I was like, okay, I saw you back there getting down.
Oh, I got to see that. I didn't see that myself. You got to give me it on YouTube. You got to give me that.
Okay,
right.
I have to find it because I wrote that one down somewhere. And I'm like, oh,
yeah, like
okay.
And I've never seen myself performing.
Well, you were moving, and I mean, you were moving.
I want to see this. Okay.
Yeah, so now, what projects are you working on at this particular time?
Well, right now I'm working on my son's project, G Breezy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 20 years old, my firstborn son. Looks just like me, and he's talented just like me, or even more so. But I'm working on his project right now, trying to get him through this this hip hop clutter. You know, it's very hard, but we're working right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say the hip hop clutter, what do you mean?
I mean, there's just so many artists out there, and the hip hop world is just, you know, I know A&R and record companies got stacks and stacks of CDs and tapes just to, you know, looking for somebody to sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't want my son to go through all that type of clutter. I'm just trying to get the project as best as I can get it as a producer, you know, in the A&R. And then hopefully I can get it right to one of the executives or one of the, you know, the
mm-hmm.
higher-ranking A&Rs and get through all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, you did mention him, and I did go on YouTube, and I did see some of his videos. And I have to say, those are cute. I really enjoyed them. It wasn't anything offensive. And I must admit,
right.
because I really am a little tired of the offensive stuff.
Yeah,
but
I'm not going to let him do that. I'm not letting him.
And that's great. That is really good
mm-hmm.
to know. And I was just like listening to him, and I said, you know, he has the package. You know, he has the
mm-hmm.
look, and
right.
he is. I could say he reminds me of a young Will Smith.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there you go. See, and that's all. And when I talk to somebody to portray my son, I say Will Smith or Nick Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them would get a good idea of where he's going. But I think even more on the rap side, he might be a little more harder than they are.
Yeah.
You know, they got their little break, but he's a little harder than they are. He's a new breed. He's a new breed. That's the word to use. He's a new breed of the hip-hop world because
mm-hmm.
even Drake has taken it to another level. You remember back in the day, you couldn't dare be a rapper and sing. Oh, they'd be like, you crazy. You know,
mm-hmm.
rap and sing. So if you're a singer and a rapper, you're really not a rapper. You must be a singer.
Yeah.
But now all that's changed. Now you can be one person can rap and he can sing and have success with it. And that's the new breed, and that's great. And my son is in that breed. Not that he's a great singer,
mm-hmm.
but he does have, you know, singing things going on like Drake do somewhat.
Okay. And, I mean, if you know, and he also did he collaborated with Chris Brown, correct?
Yeah, they do. They actually were buddies. They actually really best friends. But you know, something happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their lives to make that dissipate like that. But you know, they're really friends. You know, they speak together quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I heard it, and I have, as I mentioned earlier, I have a daughter who's 20 years old, and I asked her if has she ever heard of T. Breezy, and she goes, yeah, isn't he Chris Brown? And I'm like, no, he's not. She goes, but I
No, they call him Chris Breezy.
Yeah.
There's a Chris Breezy. Weezy, what's his name, Lil Wayne, mm-hmm. gave Chris the name Chris Weezy, Chris mm-hmm. Breezy. But TJ, T. Breezy was already going on before Chris got big time.
Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah, funny. So I told her, I said, no, I said T. Breezy, and I sent her to YouTube to look, and she really liked his work. So he's got, you know, he's got what it takes to capture the attention.
Right, yeah.
And that's the good
thing. That's what I say.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
And so all he has to do now is just get out there and get moving. And, you know, I was watching something on TV the other day and reading an article, and they were saying that now the way that you get discovered is not by approaching the record execs and all that other stuff. It's by putting a video on YouTube now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, in a sense, like, you know, old school a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go out and do the work first to get recognized, and you got to put that in to be discovered, pretty much. So you got to go out there and get a following, you know, you got to promote yourself, you got to go out and get your producers and get your songs and record them and put them together. Mm-hmm. It's like they want the whole shebang. I mean, I know I talked about it before that way, but you know what, I'm not mad at it mm-hmm. today that way either, in a sense, because it helps the young ones to go through that grind and to learn and develop even within themselves their talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to learn how to build something, then get it to a completion, and then be able to sell it off, you know. So that's a procedure that I don't mind, which is cool for our artists to go through. Because if they don't do it that way, when they just skip all that and go there, they're going to have a hard time with it, you know, throughout their career.
Mm-hmm. So this teaches them.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, so this gives them a solid work ethic that
ethic,
they can
yeah.
really have as a foundation. So when things don't go the way they expect it, they won't fall apart.
Not only that, they can flip it. They can maybe turn into an executive then, or you run their own record company, or, you know, run something other than just music. That's what I'm saying. You know, in other words, learn the business pretty much
mm-hmm.
as you do your grind. And that's what I'm teaching my son, but it's good that he has a dad that came from it, because I'm really talking to him all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. That is excellent. So, you know, and I am a firm believer in, you know, knowing every aspect of a situation so that you can switch gears, as you said. And the switching gears is important because it makes you more versatile and also
mm-hmm.
more knowledgeable. So when someone does come to you with something, they try to hand you something that's not correct, you can turn around and say, this is not correct. And I believe in the past, that was one of the things that really got a lot of our artists in trouble. They didn't know
mm-hmm.
the whole aspect of the industry, and they got ripped off
for
the most part. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, all of the, you know, the older artists, a lot of them have gone on to glory, and they never really got the money they were supposed to get for all that hard work that they put out there.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a shame.
Yeah.
But thank God for people like you who are like, you know, I want to, you know, make sure that if anybody's going to work with me, they're going to know exactly how to do and what to do. And that's excellent.
Yeah, at this point in my life, I mean, I've been through all those things you just spoke about. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've been through every last one of them. So that's why I'd say if I work with anybody, my contribution back to this, to the music world is to educate musically as well as help them musically to learn how to make hit songs.
Okay. Now, if there was one thing you wanted to tell an upcoming artist, what would that be?
Keep your head clean, man. Try to stay away from the drugs
mm-hmm.
and all those things. And
okay.
to just focus on your dream and your goal. And chase it down, man. Chase it down. And to always listen to the older folks. I mean, especially if there's something good coming out your mouth and it makes sense to you, to listen to the older folks, because they have answers. They have answers. You know, to a lot of questions that our youth and people go through. So that's pretty much, you know. I don't want to get all into everything else, but we need to listen. Just listen and focus.
Now, if someone had something they wanted you to hear or they wanted to get in contact with you, how would they go about that?
They can hit me. They can hit me on my email page.
Okay. And that email address is, because I'm going to post this all on my website as well, so that way if they weren't able to get it, they can go to the www.thecocoaexpress.com and they can be able to get all the information that you give me today. So if there's anyone out there who's interested in, you know, having someone like you guide them and be in their corner, they can go there and do it. So how would they get in contact with you? What's your email address?
Okay, S-T-V, as in Victor, L-T, as in Tom, B, as in boy. That's 6@AOL.com.
Okay, so everyone, that's Sam, Thomas, Victor, Larry, boy, 6@AOL.com, STVLTB6@AOL.com. So if you want to get in contact with Mr. Timmy Allen and ask him for, you know, to share his wisdom, or if you have something that you think he might be interested in hearing, this is the way you can do it. And I am, you know, I have to say that if I had talent, you would be hearing from me. However, I believe that it's my purpose in this life to just make sure that people know that there are people out there like you who are offering this to anyone who is willing and interested, and I'm going to do that to my best ability. So I just want to just thank you so much for all of your time, your wisdom, and the thing about it is, this is your history, and guess what? It's still unfolding. You're still writing your history, and that's the beautiful part of it. We can talk about it and watch it change as we discuss it, and, you know, you have provided so many people with so many wonderful moments, because the music that you have created has been uplifting and you know, just feel-good kind of music, and that's a wonderful thing. And you can never have enough of that. And
never. That's
no, you never have enough of that, and that's just wonderful. And, I, you know, if you ever want to come back, you can visit us as often as you wish, and if you have an artist or something you want to, you know, let us know about or a project you're working on, you're always welcome to come share it with us. I am so honored that you took the time out to be with us, and I have to say thank you. And that's pretty much our time is up now, and it has
been. Thank you, Aurelia.
You're welcome. It has been a real honor.
I appreciate it, man, and I'm definitely gonna be getting back to you. And like you say, it's just unfolding, and it's the beginning of it again. You know.
Yes, yes, and I'm sure, being that people know that you're out there and you're ready to get back on the block, you're gonna have a line behind you. So I'm not worried about that at all. You are going to be busy again. So I guess you can put another battery in there.
Well, I'm going to have my son reach out to you soon.
Okay, great.
Thank you all, y'all.
Yes, I would really love having him as well, because I really like what I heard, and it would be my pleasure to have him on as well. So I also would like to thank my listeners for their continued support. So please join me next Saturday when we're going to talk about bone health with Dr. Carol Pence. She'll be back with us again. So you guys be safe, and girls, you be safe, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you all.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.